Okay, so the Lord is asking me to preach with no shoes on, but I'm really upset about that because I wore some really cute shoes today. So I'm just going to show you. So, aren't they cute? Yeah? Okay, great. So, welcome. I feel like the Lord has asked me to title the message, Hallowed Be Thy Name. Recognize that from anywhere? Maybe the first line of the Lord's Prayer. If you know me, you know I love the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew 6:9 says, this then is how you should pray. This is Jesus talking. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. From Strong's Dictionary, hallow means to venerate, to regard with great respect, and to revere. And so before we get started, if Jesus is telling us that's how he wants us to start prayer, I also believe that's how he wants us to start today. So if you're okay, I'm going to just praise him before we get started. So Father, we just love you. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We praise you, Father, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise you as Almighty God. We thank you that you are our Father, that you are above and beyond anything we can think, ask, or even imagine. We thank you, Father, for your kindness, for your beauty. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Word who became flesh. We thank you, Father, that you are seated in the highest heaven on the highest throne. Father, we praise your holy name. Holy, holy, holy. The heaven and the earth are filled with your glory. Father, we thank you as you are Yahweh. You are the great I am. You are the one who speaks from the burning bush. Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you as the master planner. We praise you as the one who is in control. We praise you because you are worthy of our praise. You are lifted high. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the Messiah. You are our rescuer, our stronghold. You are our safe place. You are our Abba, Father. Father, we praise you this morning. We hallow your name. We revere you because you are worthy to be revered. And so, Lord, we lift you up this morning as we humble ourselves to your majesty, to your power. We respect you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I am the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I am a partaker of a heavenly calling. I am the daughter of the King. I am a child of God. I am a channel of Christ's life. And that is who I am. But my assignment here at City Church is to work with Pastor Joyce in women's ministry, and I'm also the leader of our Freedom Ministry team. When Pastor Tom invited me to share this morning, he said, just give your testimony. The Lord speaks through our testimony. And Revelation 12:11 says, the enemy is conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And so as I've been praying about what the Lord wants me to share and thinking about intimacy and all of that, what I heard the Lord say is that intimacy is to make room for me. To make room for me in your prayer time, to make room for me in your job, to make room for me in your family. Make room for me. So I didn't grow up a Christian. I had no idea what a relationship with Jesus was. I had no idea what intimacy with God was. And how many of you know, like, God just kind of gives you what you need, right? Like, he knew that I didn't know any of these things. And so he brought me, well, before we go there, I had an encounter with God in college. So I want to take you, I didn't just skip from not being a Christian to being a Christian. So I had an encounter with God in college, and I was in a terrible relationship. I was in the pit of my life. I felt hopeless. I felt like there was no way out. I found myself living alone at 2 a.m. and literally crying myself to sleep. And I prayed for the very first time. And I said, Lord, if you're really there, you need to help me with this. And if you help me with this, I'll get to know you. And I cried myself to sleep that night. I woke up the next morning and this 20-year-old brain was like, something happened to me that was supernatural. I've never experienced anything. I had the power to do what I needed to do. Every wrong the night before became right that next day. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was real. But then that whole little thing, like, I'll learn about you, was like, well, I'll just put that on a shelf. Well, once again, you know, God just doesn't forget things. And so then Mr. James Ackley enters my life, and very solid Christian. And I knew that if I wanted to end up with him, that I would have to start going to church and, you know, like, start learning about God. So the rest is history. It's been an amazing journey. But God brought me into Moms in Prayer. It's an organization when our kids were little, we have three boys, that is worldwide. And basically, God knew that I needed to learn intimacy. He knew that I needed to learn how to pray. And he brought this organization right into my lap because, you know, moms love their kids. And, you know, like, what better way to usher us into where we're supposed to go through praying for our kids? So Moms in Prayer would hand us this prayer sheet, and on the prayer sheet, they did the ACTS method of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And supplication is just praying for the kids. And so honestly, I was like, well, that's kind of crazy because I'm here to pray for my kids, but now we got to do all this other stuff before we do that. Like, this doesn't really make sense, but I'll just do it. So I remember the first day getting my little prayer sheet, and the adoration part was the attribute able. God is able. And then they have different scriptures that go along with that. And when you don't really know who God is and you don't know about God, it's really hard to praise him. So it was just always like this part of the prayer time where it was really a struggle. But then we get together with three other people and we read these scriptures, and it's God is able to do immeasurably above and beyond anything you can think, ask, or even imagine. God is able to do the impossible. God is able to part the waters. And as we were sitting there thinking about God and thinking about how able he is, I started to get to know him. It was such a surprise. Because when you take time and you quiet yourself and you start to think about him, and you start to think, well, what else was he able to do? Well, he was able to get me out of that terrible situation. And you start meditating and thinking about God. I was doing this I have three kids, so it was three different ones every week. And so it was a different attribute every week. And slowly, I am just like, wow, this is amazing. This God is amazing. And pretty soon my prayer time started to be a little bit more about adoration and praise than it was the actual prayer. And then I'm thinking, well, why am I even praying? Because this big God that I've just been thinking about, like, he's able to do immeasurably more than I can think, ask, or even imagine. My problems, as I started to adore him and praise him, started getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Does anyone have a big problem here today? Does anyone have a problem that is so big? I know that if you were to sit with the Lord and you would take scriptures about who he is, you would start to see your problem smaller. So I had a big problem because God asked me to do a really big thing. And so this big problem was in 2011, God said, well, I'd like you to build a homeless shelter for homeless single women and their children. Well, that's a big problem. Because we didn't have any money, we didn't have any staff, we didn't have any knowledge, we didn't have any building, we didn't have anything. This is a big problem. But I'd been doing this Moms in Prayer thing, and I've been praising God, and when your eyes are on God and you're praising God, everything else looks small, so really it's not a big problem. And so I'm like, I'm in. So for 5 years, we started praising God. We didn't even know what we were supposed to be asking for. I mean, have you ever built a homeless shelter for single women and children? We didn't have a clue. I went to school for business. I don't know. And so we started meeting every week, and you know, it's really the only way I knew how to pray. So it's like, well, I'm leading the prayer team. I guess this is what we're doing. So we're praising God, and we're praising God, and we're praising God. And all of a sudden, God starts opening some doors. He starts opening some doors. People start coming. Wow, keep praising God. Don't look to the left. Don't look at this big problem. Praising God. And before we knew it, we had a building, and then we needed case management, and we needed marketing, and we needed donations and money and drywall and all this stuff. We just kept praising God. I mean, there were times we didn't have money to pay for the drywall. There were times where we didn't have money to put in new flooring. But we just kept praising God. We couldn't look at the picture. When the neighbors were mean to us and were intimidating us, and when people in the neighborhood that were Christians that said, you need more social workers and less Jesus and less prayer, we just kept praising God. Because what else are you going to do? That shelter has been up and running for 5 years, and they've helped hundreds and hundreds of women and children. Praising God works. We got to keep our eyes not on the big problem, but we got to keep our eyes on Him. The other thing that happens when we praise God, I mean, I love worship music. I mean, you all know I'm dancing all the time. The other thing that happens when you're praising God is that thoughts in our mind, I am convinced that we all have been believing lies about who God really is. We all kind of have this, we've been disappointed, you know, there's all this stuff. You know, I've been leading Freedom Team or Freedom Ministry prayers for 10 years. And I mean, there are so many things that can get stuck on repeat. I think that when we praise God, when we open up scripture and when we look at who He is and we look at His attributes, it starts to dispel the lies that we've believed about God. And the lies are really what keeps us from experiencing really true intimacy. So have you ever heard the lie that He's incapable of doing what you need Him to do? Or that He's not strong enough? Or that He won't come through for me, He comes through for everybody else? That He doesn't like me? That I'm not good enough for Him? Do you know that there are scriptures that contradict every single one of those things? How about we figure out the lies that we're believing about Jesus? Because, you know, when we're looking at the wrong Jesus, we're going to be a mess. So let's figure out the lies and then get some scripture to start fighting those lies. You know, my husband and I just came upon the Graham Cook's Crafted Prayer. And, you know, you take those scriptures and you make a prayer out of it. You start speaking that over your life. It's powerful. We got to keep our eyes on the things that God says, because there's so much going on around us that wants to take our eyes away. So I came across Profound Good. A friend had, this is crazy. So she texted me this week. She's like, have you read the book Profound Good by Blake Healy? And I had it on my bookshelf. And so the Lord wanted me to read this to share it with you today. But anyways, Blake Healy has been seeing in the spiritual realm since he was born. So he's been seeing angels and demons and all the things that go on in the spiritual realm his whole life. And so he's written 4 books. The first one is The Veil, and then he has 3 more. And I would highly recommend these books by Blake Healy, because I think it's really important to know what's happening in the spiritual realm when we're praying or when we're not praying. Or, you know, demons are real. And they are, if we don't admit that they're real, then they're going to have their way with us. And so Blake tells this story. And I thought I would just read it, because he has a great way of saying it, and I don't want to ruin it. So basically, Blake was in a courtroom and he was looking over at this man. And so he said, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to a man. Well, I want to just give you a heads up on like what I'm going to read. So he's going to give us what he sees in the spiritual realm, And he's basically going to tell us about this man in this courtroom situation, going to see a judge, and he's going to talk about a demon that is blowing on him, stressing him out, and then what happens? And then what happens when this man decides that he's not going to think those thoughts anymore, and what happens to the demon? So, here we go. He drew my attention to a man sitting in the back row on the far side of the room. He had big, broad shoulders and was tapping both feet as his fingers drummed on the back of the document in his hand. I couldn't see what kind of paper it was from where I was sitting, but it had a lot of red lettering on the front. A demon was squatting down in front of the man, blowing on the paper in his hand. The demon's breath released an ashy smoke that ran around the paper and into the man's eyes. So this demon was blowing on the paper, and the ashy smoke from the demon was making a lens from what this guy was looking through. So how many of you know that demons could be blowing on you? Yeah. What are they blowing on you? They could be blowing dust, lust, depression, fear, you name it, addiction. So this demon is blowing on these papers and it's getting into his eyes to make him see differently. Each time a puff of smoke went into the man's face, his eyes would dart from left to right nervously. So I'm thinking he's blowing fear. Dark images appeared around his head. So now he's starting to think. Okay, so these dark images are appearing around his head. Snapshots of a car being repossessed, his wife looking disappointed, and the man asking his boss for more hours at work came out of his mind like smoky shadows. So his angel, Blake teaches us in here that everybody has a personal angel. And it's funny because we think that we have personal angels. You know, it was like he was asking a question, why do you think you have a personal angel? And, you know, and my answer would have been, well, to protect me, to guide me, to do all these things. And he said, no, the reason that everybody has a personal angel is out of the love of the Father, that he loves you so much that he has given you a personal angel to guide you and love you and protect you. Isn't that cool? All right, so this personal angel whipped out a sharp gold-plated sword with a red tassel hanging off the hilt and began slashing these shadowy images. So this angel's trying to help him out. The angel moved swiftly and precisely, striking each image only once. The demon began blowing harder. He sees that he's losing ground, right? This demon is losing ground. This angel's helping out. The demon began blowing harder, its expression growing more desperate. The angel moved even more quickly, matching the increased pace at which the dark images began appearing. Suddenly, the man stood up. He shook his hands as if he was trying to loosen them up, rolled his shoulders, and let out a deep sigh. The demon followed him as he moved, huffing and puffing at the paper as it flapped around with the man's movement, but none of the smoke reached the man's face anymore. As the man settled against the wall where the woman had been, I saw a small golden club appear in the angel's hand. So now the angel had a weapon. The angel immediately batted the demon on the side of its head, sending it away tumbling. Why didn't the angel just do that right away? I asked the Holy Spirit, speaking in my mind. Why did he wait until the man got up? I didn't get a clear answer. I don't always. I just felt a gentle touch on certain parts of my memory of what had just transpired. The demon was blowing on the paper. I got the impression of blowing on embers to try to start a fire. The demon was trying to heighten the stress the man was feeling about whatever legal problem he was facing. The shadowy images, remember, seemed to be coming from the man himself, but something about them didn't look right. The scenes and facial expressions in the pictures looked slightly exaggerated. These worries and fears were coming from the man, but they were being twisted by what the demon was doing, making them each seem much worse. the angel was chopping at the thoughts, but basically ignoring the demon. The angel had the authority to intervene with the shadowy thoughts, but not the demon itself, because that man was choosing to think that way. So if we choose to think that way, then the angel can't help us with the demon, because we have free will. How many times are you thinking about something and you're pontificating on it, and all of a sudden you're going down the bunny trail that, you know, your son's home late from being out at night, and now he's dead in a ditch. I mean, we go to the extremes, and he's saying here, like, the angel can't help when you're agreeing with those negative thoughts. But listen to what happens. I lost track of what the demon and the angel were doing when the man stood up. I was distracted by his sudden movement. Maybe he was shaking himself out of this line of thinking. So he stopped thinking that way, right? He stopped thinking that way. After all this transpired, the angel received a new weapon. When he stopped agreeing with those negative thoughts, the angel received a new weapon. It appeared with a flash of light. The second he had the weapon, he immediately used it to dispatch the demon. The angel did not have the authority to dispatch what the man was focusing on. As soon as he stopped focusing on the negative thoughts, or at least stopped focusing on them in the way the demon was trying to get him to, the angel was able to receive what he needed to get rid of the demonic influence. So what is the demon blowing on you? What are you partnering with? What negative thought is stopping you from being intimate with God? I believe that there are some people here that came today that fear is stopping you from being intimate with God. When we are believing those lies, it is really hard to come into intimacy with Him. And so today I want to pray for over fear. I want to pray. And the Lord, yesterday I spent 10 hours with the Lord because I was fearing man yesterday to come here today. And the Lord dealt with me. And so I'm going to share with you what He dealt with me. He said, "Don't fear man. Tremble at my voice. Fear my will. Fear my way. Fear my presence. Fear me. Fear me." And so today, in Jesus' name, I am praying over every evil spirit of fear that is stopping intimacy with God. And we say, "Father God, forgive us for fearing people." There's a scripture that says, why do we fear man that can kill the body when we should fear God who can kill the body and the soul? Lord, we're looking at fear. We're giving fear too much credit. We fear You because You are above and beyond anything you can think, ask, or even imagine. And so before I go into prayer, we have some scriptures up here that we just want to tie this all together. Psalm 145:5 says, "On the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works, I will meditate." That is meditating on God, on His majesty, on His splendor, on what He has done. Joanna talked about thankfulness. We need to meditate on being thankful. Next scripture. Psalm 119:15, "I will meditate on Your precepts, on Your laws, and fix my eyes on Your ways. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." Think about Him. Don't think about your circumstances. Don't think about your big problems. Praise, praise, praise. And my very favorite scripture, because of what God revealed to me in the scripture, it's very common scripture, but finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so I was doing a meditating on this scripture, and so I did a little word study on true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, and I have them all written down. Every single one of those words points to Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit. Every single one. And so it's like, that's what we're supposed to be looking at. We're supposed to be looking at God. So Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come close to you. We thank you that when we come close to you, you speak to us. You make our problems small. We get to know you. We get to have a relationship with you. When troubles come, we know that you are the solid rock that we can stand on. Father, we thank you that nothing is impossible for you. And we thank you that when we fix our eyes on you, you will give us peace in the middle of the storm. And I just, if everyone just wants to stand up right now, and if you struggle with fear, I just want to pray for you right now. If you just want to put your hands out to receive. And we're just going to, you know, repent and say, Father, forgive me for listening to the voice of fear. Forgive me for partnering with fear. Forgive me for not fearing you and fearing what the enemy has to say over what you have to say. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you died for our sins. We thank you that you remember our sins no more when we confess it. Father, we fear you. We tremble at your word. And so right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I am asking today that you would release from heaven faith, that you would overcome our fears with faith, that you would remind us to stop the negative thoughts, to stop going down the bunny trail, to stop agreeing with fear. Lord, I pray the spirit of the fear of the Lord over this place right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one to be feared. I pray a healing, a deep healing. I pray that you would pull root fear out by the very roots. And you would release faith, that we would trust you, that we would know you, that we would look back on what you've done, and that you would pour your spirit out. Lord, increase the intimacy, break every chain, demolish every stronghold that keeps us from you. Reveal those lies that we've been believing. I ask for a blessing for each one of my brothers and sisters here today. In Jesus' name, amen.